And we're not like Jacob. We know he's here. We know we can feel his presence. We can feel his touch this morning. And we can know, we can understand the greatness of this God. Interestingly, all the testimony that we are hearing is showing that God is working in our life and in our midst. And I cannot but say thank you to God for his grace and his favor. Because 2019 is a divine experience year. And I know that. This morning, last Sunday, I started by speaking on spiritual territorial mapping, and I was talking about prayer. And I want to encourage every one of us. I said it last week. I want to encourage every one of us, please, if you're not here, listen to those messages on our website. It's there, and it's for everyone to listen to. But it's so good to also be in fellowship on a Sunday morning together like this. But where situation does not allow it, please listen to those messages and be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for this morning is John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. The text for this morning, John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. And we've been sharing about this a lot this morning. And he says, but the hour come. And now, you're not there yet, okay? I'll wait for us to get there. John chapter 4 from verse 23 to 24. Are we there? Good. Right. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm continuing with the spiritual territorial mapping, and this morning I'm talking about the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. Last week, like I said, I talked about prayers, and I talked about how we will spiritually, territorially map out our prayers. And one of the examples is what we've had this morning. Someone called from Nepal. We're not from Nepal. We don't go to Nepal, but from here, we're able to send the word of God out there, and it brought calmness. Amen. It brought calmness, and it just reminded me of that experience of Jesus with his disciples when he was in the boat and he was sleeping, and they were like, "Care if we perish?" And Jesus just spoke the word. He spoke the word from the boat into the sea, and the sea was calm. He's a great God. He's got power over every situation. He's never changed. He's still the same God. Jesus yesterday, today, and forever he will remain. Only for us to understand and have faith in him. Only for us to have an insight into what his plan and purpose are. And this 2019, I want you to open your mind in faith. Because God is going to do great things. He's going to do great things, but he needs you to do it. He can't do it on his own. He needs you to do it. He wants to walk through you and through me. So through prayer, he wants to walk through us. He wants us to prayerfully walk along with him so that he can win the victory for us. Today, we're going to be talking about the Word and the Spirit. And to assist us to have a clear insight into today's message, which is going to be the last series, I'm not going to, of our divine experience, which I started in January. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to open your mind as I read these first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. Open your mind And let us spiritually understand this. It says, have we opened it? Yes. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the deep, was upon the face of the deep. But look at the next verse. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Amplified Version, this is how it puts it. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was brooding. What is brooding? Pardon? Pardon? Exactly. They basically wait, isn't it? Incubate, exactly. They incubate in the Spirit of God. So that's what I'm looking for. Incubate, exactly. The Spirit of God was incubating on the face of the waters. Then the word came out in verse 3. The word came out and said, let there be. Let there be. Into the Spirit that was hovering. Let there be. And there was. The word and the Spirit. The word and the Spirit. Let there be. While the Spirit was brooding over the waters, God spoke out his word. And there was. And there was. The power in the word, exactly. But the word would not have been able to effectively create without the brooding of the Spirit. The word would not have been able to create without the brooding, without the incubating spirit that is waiting for the word of God. I'll remind you of Jesus' word in John chapter 1. I mean, of the word of Jesus as the word of God in Genesis chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and God was the word. So basically, we need to understand where we're going to. When we read the Bible, how do we read it? How do we read the Bible? I said it on Thursday. Was it on Thursday we were having a Bible study? And I said it on Thursday that when in the olden days, when they want to give you the Bible, they give you with the complete work of Shakespeare. I don't know who knows that history here, but that's what they did. They give you the Bible and the complete work of Shakespeare. And you can read the Bible as a literature. I'm a literature student, and it's easy to read the Bible as a literature. Because in the Bible, you have prose, you have poem, you have everything, you have poetry, it's there. History, you have history, exactly. Everything is there. And you can read it that way. You can look at all the names in Deuteronomy and in Judges and Numbers. You can look at the names and sound like, and it beget this and it beget that and the list of names. And you might not even understand it. But you can look at those names and see the spiritual meaning that the name connotes. The spiritual meaning that the name is bringing out. Like Judah, whose name means praise. And each time you mention Judah, there's a portion in the Bible that says Judah goes first, which means praise goes first. It has a lot of meaning. Those names have their meanings. I got the names of my two daughters when reading the Bible, and many Christians were asking me, where do you find Ephesus and Beulah? How did you find that word? And I'm like, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And it means married and beloved. Because that's the word. That's the promise of God to us. Those words are there, but they're names with different meanings, but you need to understand it. But you can only understand it if you allow the Spirit to incubate, to brood over those words. You allow you allow the Spirit of God to brood over those words. If not, you're just reading literature. This year, for what God wants to do, He wants you to allow the Spirit of God to interpret His word in your life. God wants to interpret His word into your life so that He will give the word a meaning. John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 14 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God. And the same was in the beginning, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Look at that, those words. I want you to pay attention to those words. "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." How will a life become the light of men? A life become the light of men. Jesus said, "I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." That's what the word says. "That word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." Jesus came to give us a life and a light. But how do we understand that? In verse 11, he says, "He came to His own, and His own received Him not," because they don't understand Him. They had the Torah. Any Bible student will understand what I'm talking about. They had the Torah. The Torah is the commandment, is the scripture, is what every Jewish child will read right from the early age of their life. And in the Torah, there was evidence of God's presence, of Jesus' presence. In the Torah, you had them, it was in the Torah that you had Genesis, where he was talking about that the voice was walking in the wilderness. It was in the Torah that they were talking about the burning bush, how God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and how he could hear the voice of God from a burning bush. It was in the Torah. So all this was there. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew that God was going to send the Messiah. But they were expecting something different from what God had in plan. And as a result, they were not in the plan of God. How many of us have lived our life that way? We've been in church many, many years, but we don't allow God to take control. We want to control what God wants to do. But God's way are not our ways. His thought are not our thought. As far as heaven is to the earth, so is His thought to us. His plan is already made. And His plan is good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. That is the plan of God for you. So basically, He came to His own received Him not. But listen to this. To as many as received Him, He gave the power. Listen to that. To as many as received Him, He gave the power to become the Son. To as many as believed in His name. How do you receive Him? Words is easy to receive when it comes in a clear way. But word can only come in a clear way if you understand it. If I go to a rural community in my country and I start speaking English, they will never understand me. So they can never understand what I'm talking about. So they can never receive what I'm saying. And that is why maybe I'll have to have an interpreter or have to speak in their language. I can't go to a country where they don't speak English and start preaching in English. They will never understand it because they will never get what I'm saying. The same way with a Christian. You can't read the scripture without the Holy Spirit because you never understand it. It is the Jesus said something, and this is the interesting thing about it. He said that I will send you a comforter who will teach you everything about me. That's what Jesus said. I'll send you a comforter who will teach you everything about me. Jesus was making a point here. He wants us to understand what his plans are. He is the Word of God. As you saw in Genesis, in John chapter 1. And he's the Word that God spoke into the Spirit. So basically, the combination of the Word and the Spirit is what brought about creation. So if you then want to understand what the Word is, you need the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, you can never understand what. Jesus said it in John chapter 15. He said, I'll send you a comforter who will teach you everything about me. In John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, he said, that Spirit of truth will teach you all things. All things. So without the Holy Spirit, we can never understand the promise of God in his word. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 4 to 6, he says, letter kills. He says, letter kills. And it's true. When you read word, let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 to 6. 3, verse 4 to 6. Paul was talking about his ministry of the New Testament. He said, and such truth have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter. Listen to that. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. He is not a minister of the letter. So basically, I can't tell you that because I'm standing and I'm preaching, it's because I know the word. I can come here and preach a lifeless word because I can go through the scripture and just read what is there. It's enough for me to spend hours reading and everybody listening. But if the Spirit does not interpret this word in my heart and does not interpret it in your heart, then we're not getting anywhere. We're not getting anywhere. We're just playing a gathering of people who have come to study literature. But for us to be able to function properly, we need the Holy Spirit to interpret God's word to us. And I can tell you one thing. In this scripture, there's so many promises. And those promises are for you and for me. That's what God said. Those promises are for you and for me, for us to be able to live a life that is fulfilling and complete in God. But until we have a spiritual understanding of those promises, we'll never know. And we all know the word rhema. Rhema means the word in a season, a particular word for everyone. And most time, that is where we are with God. That's what God, where God wants us to be. To be able to have the rhema of the word, to be able to have an understanding of the word that is meant for us in a season. A word in a season for every situation we find ourselves. But we can't do that except we have the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, what does it do? It changes us into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord are changed. As we behold in the glass the glory of the Lord, as we continue to read the word, we're changed into the image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So for that changes to happen in our life, for the divine experience to happen, for the divine visitation to happen, we need the Spirit of the Lord. Because it is only the Spirit that can come, that can change us, that can make us have an understanding of the glory of God. I'll give you an instance. The disciples have been with Jesus all these years. They've been there. But they went to the Mount of Transfiguration. And for the first time, they saw something they've never seen before. They saw Jesus in glory with Moses and Elijah. And they were like, wow. You know what they said? Let us just continue to live here. We're not living this mountain anymore. Let's continue to stay here. This is a lovely experience. But then, they had no understanding of what the message was, of what Jesus was. They only saw a snippet of what Jesus was meant to be, because the Holy Spirit has not come upon them yet. So they were just there, and they were on that mountain, and like, wow. It became like a big show to them. And that is how miracles is to people who don't have an understanding of who God is. They see miracles and like, oh, this is signs and wonders. We want to go to that church where they do signs and wonders. No. You yourself, you're made for signs and wonders. You are the signs and wonders carrier. So you don't need to go anywhere. You are meant to be carrying the signs and wonders around if you understand what you are in Christ. You are meant to be, because you're created for signs and wonders, so you don't need to go anywhere else. You're meant to be the one the world is coming to for signs and wonders. And they were saying, oh, we stay here because we've seen the signs and wonders and everything. But as soon as they came down from that mountain, what happened to them? They could not heal a child. And the people were like, hang on, this your disciples, they couldn't heal the person we brought to them. And they were like, oh, what happened? Why can't we do it? And just said, without prayer and fasting, without the Spirit, you can't do this. This is not a child's play. This is a point where you get to and you display the Spirit of God. You display the glory of God. That glory that I've come to bestow upon you. That glory that I've come to show you. And it is interesting because it's not just in the New Testament that you have the Spirit of God that is important to the world. In the Old Testament, there is something called the Urim and the Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim, that's what they call it. And when in Exodus, when they were designing the clothes of Aaron, the Urim and the Thummim was what Aaron would wear as a breastplate on his chest to go into the Holy of Holies. And once they bring that out, it's a priestly garment, one in the Holy of Holies, and once they bring that out, the word of God comes out. God starts speaking to the children of Israel, and he starts speaking to them. And that is how the Holy Spirit is to us. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Reading the word without the guidance of the Holy Spirit makes us more vulnerable. Like I said last week, growing up in church, I remember when people would take the word of God and would say, we bind and cast, they would carry the Bible and like swinging it left and right, and with the high places of God in and the two-edged sword in our hand. Oh, man. But then you don't even know what's in the two-edged sword that you're carrying. You don't even know a word in the two-edged sword that you're carrying. You don't understand the two-edged sword that you're carrying. That two-edged sword is so powerful. The word in there is for you to use to fight the battle. This year, God wants us to have a spiritual understanding of the word. Not just the word, a spiritual understanding of the word. God wants you to have the spiritual understanding of the word so that when you get into any situation, you can tap into God through his word. The Spirit of God can just drop the word in your heart and you just speak the word into that situation. God wants you to be in that position where you can fight battles and win victory for the name of God. God wants you to be in that position where the world will look at you and say, let's go to David's house. Let's go to Les and Val's house. Let's go to Daniel. As they call from Nepal, let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Kay. Let's go to Rob. Let's go to Terry. Let's go to Morag. Let's go to everyone here. Let's go to Moni. Let's go to their house. Let's ask them to speak to their God for us. Let's ask them to speak to their God for us. God wants to do that this year. But then, what are you doing? Are you dipping yourself into the word? The Bible is a treasure. And to hunt for the treasure, we must have the right map. The Bible is a treasure. To hunt for that treasure, we must have the right map. Jesus promises that the work he did, we will do. And greater work, John chapter 15, verse 4, greater work we will do also. No, John chapter 14, verse 12. That's where he said, the work he did will do and greater work will do. But he said, for us to do that work, we have to abide in him. John 15, 4. Abide in me and I in you. That's what he said. We have to abide in him. And we cannot abide in God except we have the Holy Spirit of God. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will teach us everything about him. A good example was the disciples. Like I said earlier, before the Holy Spirit came, they came down from the mountain. They've seen the miraculous transfiguration of Jesus and everything on the mountain. And they came down and they couldn't heal a child. But God told them what they need to do. And that was in Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, you know what happened? Acts chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. The shadow of Peter was healing the sick. Amen. Amen. What if your shadow, as you walk around the street, people just touch you and say, you know what, I've just been healed because of you, because of the way you've just passed. I can feel the horror of God around you. I can feel the presence of God around you. That's what God wants you to become. He wants you to carry the horror, the presence of God, because you carry Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you need to be able to hose out. You need to be able to hose out God, the Spirit of God, into this world. That's what he's saying to you. When the Holy Spirit came, they were going about. They were not rejoicing that they've seen Jesus that was transfigured on the mountain. They were rejoicing on the fact that they were preaching the word to the world. They were rejoicing on the fact that souls were being saved. Remember when they did their first miracle, they were rejoicing. They came out, oh, we healed the sick, we did this, we did that. And what did Jesus say to them? Rejoice, for your name is written in the book of life. And when the Holy Spirit came into them, they were different people. They were not rejoicing for the healing that was happening. They were rejoicing for the souls that were being saved. And they said, many souls were being added to them daily. That's what they were rejoicing about. They were not so concerned about the miracle. Even the man came to them and said, can you sell me some of this power that you have that you use in healing these people? And they rebuked him and said, no, that's not what this ministry is for. No. Because they were not concerned about that. They were concerned about the going out of the word of God in spirit and in truth, piercing souls and winning heart for God. That is what the Spirit would do if we allow it to work. That is what the Spirit wants to do if we allow it to work. This year, our divine experience is promised in our walk with God, in prayer, in reading the word, and in allowing the Spirit to interpret the word to us. We need to read the word, but then it's the Spirit that will interpret the word to us. Because the Spirit is the only one that can interpret the word to us. Jesus said, I will send you the Comforter who will teach you everything about me. Jesus is the Word of God. The Spirit will teach you everything about Jesus. I want to encourage you and say to you, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, you're made for signs and wonders. In 2019, the Lord will use you for his glory. Only remain and abide in him. God bless you all.